Let us continue now with the beginning of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure number 124B. We're on page 481. We're still in the section on the science of triangles, and DK is going to offer soon a tabulation which will relate the rays and the constellations. And what I had suggested is that we all memorize this if we're really interested in esoteric astrology. It does always introduce the factor of the rays, and astrologers are not used to working with the rays. The rays have special relations to planets and to signs of the zodiac, and this we wish to understand with as much completeness as possible in order to really become involved in the new esoteric astrology. We go on here saying that certain of the forces with which we are dealing govern humanity in a peculiar manner, and the effect of their influence is to bring about the at-oneing of the three planetary centers. And we already saw that if there was an at-oneing of the three planetary centers, then we would have leading to the Earth becoming a sacred planet. There are four constellations, as you know, which convey the required energies which will make humanity divine. It's so interesting the different kinds of functions that DK gives to the different constellations, the crises through which we pass, the different cycles, whether from individualization to Christhood, or whether from the intellectual phase to the accepted discipleship, or accepted discipleship to the later high initiate status, or from individualization to the stage of the disciple who has still an ahamkaric principle, and from that stage of discipleship all the way until initiation. Different cycles are given. The cycle the gestation cycle, moving clockwise from Virgo until we have the birth in Capricorn. It is very intricate and wonderful, and somehow through constant experience, exposure, and careful reading, this will become part of our thought life, and we will begin to wield the new esoteric astrology. So anyway, these four constellations, they are Aries, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. These will make humanity divine. Well, Aries will start the whole process going and always lead into the new. Leo will help all human beings become integrated personalities who have a strong self. Scorpio we'll see the battle fought with the lower, between the lower self and the higher self. And Aquarius will make one humanity in consciousness whose orientation is service. I guess it all depends on where we start, where we start this process. If we're starting it from the very, from where humanity is now, humanity needs to reverse the wheel. And Aries provides part of that impulse. It also needs to take the first initiation under Leo, the second initiation under Scorpio, the third initiation under Aquarius, and subsequent initiations as well. The fourth can be taken under Aquarius, and I don't see why the fifth cannot as well. This sign is universal. And three initiations can be taken under Scorpio, and Leo contributes to a number of them as well. But at least it begins the first initiation, the person who has the strong Leo, and perhaps with Libra or some of the other first degree initiatory signs like Capricorn or Gemini or Virgo, etc., may be in line to take the first initiation. But you never know until you actually analyze the place at which the individual stands. We cannot look at a horoscope and tell of what type of individual this is the horoscope. I need not enter into an analysis of them, as this was covered when we studied each of them earlier and separately. I would, however, like to point out that each of these constellations is closely connected as a transmitter of energy with certain stars lying outside our zodiac altogether. And you know, when I look at all these, I realize, that Uranus is a ruler of all of them, and Uranus is the heavenly one. So let's take a look at this. Uranus is a ruler or important in all. It's the hierarchical ruler of Aries. It's the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo. It is the exalted, well, you can't call it, it's the planet of exaltation in Scorpio, and it is the both the initial ruler and the veiled final ruler, or one of the veiled final rulers in Aquarius. So Uranus is transmitting the energy of the cosmic ethers, and it is upon the cosmic ethers in those states of consciousness that man truly becomes divine. But they are all linked with certain stars lying outside the zodiac altogether, thus connecting our tiny planet with certain great focal points of energy. Now, the constellations and the stars, there's always a question of which is the superior in terms of power and consciousness. It's not something we can entirely solve at this point. Sometimes I think by looking at a constellation and thinking of the category of being who is the lord of a constellation, in terms of magnitude, they would be superior to those who are lords of a solar system. I suppose everything depends, of course, on the size of the solar system. I was reading some years ago of a galaxy that was discovered with trillions of stars. It's 6 trillion, something like that. Much larger than our local galaxies, the Milky Way and Andromeda. Is this a superior entity among the galactic lords? Well, time will tell. Aries, the initiator of impulses, either the impulse to incarnate or the impulse to return to the originating source. Let form again be sought. And the originating source is being, and Aries has a strong connection with the gravitation toward an understanding of a pure being. So the impulse on the outward bound, is it inward or outward? In a way, a descent into the lower worlds is outward, although sometimes I've called the great way of higher evolution outward bound. But nevertheless, it's the impulse to descend involutionarily and the impulse to reascend through conscious evolution. And it's closely in touch with one of the stars of the Great Bear, to which we give the name Pointer in common parlance. And that is the star which is furthest from Polaris. There's another pointer which is closer. I think we're speaking of the one which is further. This pointer is a major star of direction, because through it, in this world cycle, flows the will to unify and to bring about synthesis. Now, this is interesting. If it is, the will to unify and bring about synthesis, and this is, according to our present knowledge, the star Merak, or Merak. It is perhaps a sixth ray star. It is a star connected with the soul, and the will to unify, which the soul gives. Now, these stars, the Dubhe is the fifth ray star by one method of counting, and Merak the sixth ray star. And Polaris, from a certain respect, represents the first ray. If we were to look at these three as a kind of trinity representing the three aspects of divinity, then probably Merak would support the second aspect and Dubhe the third aspect, of which the personality with which Dubhe has so much to do is an example. The personality is an example of the expression of the third aspect of divinity, generically considered, no matter what its ray may be. So this is the force which brings about the fusion or integration of the personality, the at-one-ment of personality and soul, and the unification of humanity, or the great approach of hierarchy to humanity. It sounds very much connected with the second aspect, wouldn't you think? With the second aspect. Now, what its actual ray may be among the seven rays, there are different ways of counting, but the best way seems to be to travel along the handle of the dipper and then go across the top of the dipper cup and then down and then to the left, as it were, ending with Phegda for the seventh ray. The star which is directly below Megrez, which is the place where the handle of the dipper meets the dipper itself. So here is a kind of a second ray line influencing this star. And it's always going to be will, because the Great Bear is the center of will, the cosmic Manu, as Stephen Pugh has called it. It's the will to unify and to bring about synthesis. And this is the force which brings about the fusion or integration of the personality, and that is always soul force, we learn. Soul force is involved. When you're studying the techniques of integration in esoteric psychology too, you realize that these techniques are wielded by the soul. And it's not so much what kind of ray your personality has that determines the integration process, though this will be, you know, in a sense, secondary and effective, but it's the ray of the soul itself which determines the way that the personality on any ray can be integrated within itself and integrated with the soul. So it determines the at-one-ment of personality and soul. The second aspect does that. And the unification of humanity, or the great approach of the hierarchy to humanity, and that's all done under the second aspect. It's just to say that all these processes occur under the second aspect of divinity. It will produce also the integration of our earth into the body of the sacred planets. How interesting that this particular pointer will contribute to that. This pointer contributes to the earth becoming a sacred planet, and the consequent establishing of a triangle of force composed of the pointer, Aries, and our earth. And yes, indeed, this pointer is related to Aries. Is related to Aries. Now, both Aries and Leo, the other pointers ruled by Leo, can have a strong relation to the second aspect of divinity. I mean, Aries, in a way, is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's the sacrificial lamb, and it relates to the sacrificial will of the soul, which is a kind of second aspect of will. And Leo is that particular fire sign which represents soul and consciousness. It's generally connected with solar fire, where Aries is connected with electric fire, but both of them can be connected with the second aspect of divinity. So a triangle force, pointer, Aries, and our earth. Probably soon DK will show us a diagram which we will not be able to transpose over into the kind of text I'm using. This will come shortly. Okay. Okay. Here it is. We're getting there, aren't we? Pointer, Aries, and the Earth. All right. Shortly we will see this, and maybe It will appear in the text. We'll see. This triangular relationship will have a potent effect upon the solar system, as well bringing in, I think, the second ray soul of our planetary logos, which is one of the benefits or results of the fact that our solar logos is working so strongly through our particular planetary scheme. So this triangular relationship will have a potent effect upon the solar system as well as upon the planet itself, and is also one of the factors producing the shift of the Earth's axis. And we have to remember, in connection with Aries, Uranus is very strong. And Uranus is that which always causes relocation. Uranus and relocation. Related to this triangle is the secondary one within our sun's orbit. Composed, now within our sun's orbit, that's a strange terminology. Composed of Vulcan, Pluto, and the Earth. In the archives of the Great Ones, this is referred to symbolically as, and we don't have that here as it should be. Let's see what we can do. This is the diagram here. And the statement, of course, is interesting. Related to this is a secondary one within our sun's orbit. I mean, I wonder if this means within the ring pass knot of the sun. Perhaps it does. Or does it mean within our sun's orbit around the Pleiades? It's an intra systemic triangle. So it's occurring within the solar system, and it involves Vulcan, Pluto, and the Earth. So let's turn to this. All of these have a first ray component. The pointer is directly reflecting to the Earth, but it is also connected with two other planets which have a first ray relation. Vulcan has a first ray soul, we assume. Pluto, a first-ray personality, and the Earth, a first-ray monad. So there's a triple connection here. The pointer, this particular pointer, involves the second aspect, but because it's a member of the Great Bear, it has a first aspect impress upon it. It's a member of a great first-ray constellation, so carries the first ray, even though it represents the second aspect, perhaps through the sixth ray, in relation to the Earth. Aries is off to the side. I wonder why it's to the left side. Can this be hinting at some second ray connection with Aries? This is possible. But anyway, here the first triangle, well, it's the secondary triangle, is all on the same level. Vulcan and Pluto and Earth are all planets, and two of them are non-sacred planets, the Earth and Pluto, only one sacred. A pointer and Aries and the Earth are considered a triangle of three different levels, a kind of scalene triangle. With pointer apparently in the superior position, and we have to wonder, is the constellation Aries involved here, or is it the sign Aries? I believe it's the constellation Aries. Let's see what DK says about this. Okay. He says, this is one of the most interesting and informing, watch that word, astrological symbols I have given you, and indicates a most momentous relationship. The pointer is involved in helping the Earth become a sacred planet and producing shifts in the Earth axis, since there are shifts going on at the moment. A shift is now occurring, so this pointer may be active. It's having a potent effect not only upon the solar system, but upon our Earth. We remember the pointer has a lot to do with integration, unification, and the one-man of personality and soul, and we're looking for that, the at-one-man of personality and soul of the planet itself. So I'll put that in. We are looking for the at-one-ment of personality and soul with respect to the Earth. The soul of the planetary logos and his personality. A most momentous relationship. It is one of the relationships by which the will reaches our planet. We do know that Aries is the foremost constellation of will, but in a way we're dealing with a pointer which carries the second aspect. So the first aspect is serving this second aspect. Everything is here directed by this pointer, which is seeking unification, integration, the fusion of soul and personality, the coming of spiritual will to the planet via Vulcan, and the elimination of obstacles via Pluto. You have here two major and three minor energies brought into close relation. And what he's basically saying here is the planetary energies are considered minor. In this context, the zodiacal energies and the energy of the pointer in the Great Bear are considered major. This is analogous to the two major rays and the three minor rays which condition a human being in manifestation. How interesting the analogy. Soul ray and personality ray plus the rays of the mind, emotions, and body. So if we look at that, we might think that the soul ray is represented here by the pointer, the personality by Aries, Vulcan representing the mind, Pluto the astral body, and Earth the physical body. Now, I'm not sure whether those correspondences will bear out entirely, but that's one way of doing it. These are the five energies which concern the informing life of our planet. And of course, the Earth is one of those energies. They produce in humanity conscious evolution, direction, and the founding of Shambhala on Earth. And we begin to see that in Shambhala we have a planetary logos expressing as Sanat Kumara, who is a direct disciple of the solar logos. Sanat Kumara as direct disciple of the solar logos. So Vulcan is connected with Shambhala. This we often see at the time of Waysak. Pluto is connected with Shambhala. Aries, Pluto, Shambhala is another one of those triangles. The Earth has a first ray monad. Aries is the foremost first ray sign at this time, and consequently closely related to Shambhala. They are five energies connected with the will to be. Now, does this mean the will to exist, or the, let us say, the will to persist in being or in existence? Are being and existence the same? But from the consciousness angle and not the material expression or of manifestation. So this would be the will to maybe the will to be persisting in being and in consciousness, but not so much in manifestation. Their activity and united influence in the realm of consciousness produce the appearance of another triangle, Leo, Polaris, and another one of the pointers. And these two groups form an interlocking directorate, potently effective in the evolution of consciousness. So we have a triangle, most related to being, and one more related to consciousness. Now let's see if we have here another diagram. No, we don't. But we could imagine that we have the two pointers, and this is the relationship between a first-ray star, Polaris, or at least upholding a first-ray function, a first-ray second-ray constellation, Leo. It's more along the second aspect, even though it distributes the first ray just the way Aries does. But in the fire signs, it represents consciousness. And Polaris, Leo, let's see, how would this work? Leo, Polaris, and another of the pointers. Is Leo the primary source then? Because it's listed in this way, with Leo first and then Polaris. Now, Polaris is a star of direction related to the little bear. Polaris is in the tail of the little bear. And Polaris, the little bear, is the son of the father, and thus related to the second aspect. Leo is the second of the fire signs, and thus related to the second aspect and to solar fire. And the pointer in question is the one closest to Polaris. And this pointer connects with the personality. So can we look at this as displaying three aspects, possibly? In any case, all seems connected to consciousness, because we have the constellation Leo and the pointer which is most related to Leo, and a particular star in the little bear which is related to the sun aspect and thus to Leo, since Leo is related to the sun aspect in the fire signs. So let's just list these. We have three triangles here. One is pointer, Aries, and the Earth. Another is Vulcan, Pluto, and the Earth. And another is Leo, Polaris, and the pointer. Well, how can we put this? Pointer, Leo, pointer. The first pointer here is in the foremost position. It's elevated. When it comes to the triangle which is evoked from the first one, the Earth is in the lowest position, and Vulcan and Pluto are on the same level. And we're not given how the prioritization here for Leo, pointer, Polaris. But suffice it to say, we have a strong sense of direction involved here, of a direction. Because interestingly enough, Polaris is in the little bear. So Leo and the little bear. Leo and the great bear have a relationship too, but Aries and the great bear have a particular relationship. And as we see from the fact that the great bear works for Aries and Libra, and Leo and the little bear, representing the sun aspect, have a particular relationship as well. Probably there was some kind of diagram that DK could give us which would combine all of these factors. Now let's look back here just a little bit. Yes, we remember that this first triangle, pointer Aries and Earth, plus Vulcan and Pluto are responsible for the founding of Shambhala on Earth. Vulcan, Pluto on the Earth, three first ray planets, and it has much to do with bringing the will aspect to the Earth. The constructive will and the destructive will both finding their way to Earth. Constructive will of Vulcan and the destructive will of Pluto both finding their way to Earth. When it comes to Leo, Polaris, and the pointer, I think we're dealing more with the fusion of soul and personality. We're dealing with the second aspect and the third. The lesser pointer, which is closest to Polaris, is particularly concerned with the state of the personality and is a Leo-related star. All right, let's see what else. You have, therefore, through these related triangles, the appearance of Shambhala and humanity, the two poles of divine expression, will, and activity. Now, Shambhala appeared through pointer 1, Aries, and the Earth. Will hierarchy appear in some way as a result of the Leo little bear, Polaris little bear pointer triangle? And we'll ask that question. Will humanity appear as the result of the work of the Leo? Well, we know how implicated Leo is in the appearance of humanity, because it is the sign, in one way, of individualization, and the individualization occurred in a Leo, Cancer, Gemini, Sagittarius period. Leo was powerful and also has much to do with the coming of the solar angels who implanted the spark of mind, at least in Earth humanity. So humanity appears as the result, will humanity appear as the result of the Leo, Polaris, little bear, and pointer 2 triangle, with pointer 2 representing the personality and hence humanity. Very interesting and really worth pondering. The founding of Shambhala, and Vulcan and Pluto are both related to Shambhala, and I wouldn't be surprised, but when the Earth really begins to have its base of the spine center function, that pointer and Aries will be active in assisting. The Earth is, in a sense, a base of the spine, or correlated with the base of the spine, of the solar logos, and the symbol of the base of the spine and the symbol of the Earth are the same. Pluto represents the Kundalini. It also represents the base of the spine center. And it represents a head center in the less developed human beings. Vulcan represents a head center, or the head center, as it's called, in the more developed human beings. So something about the Earth fulfilling its base of the spine function and the rising of Kundalini for the Earth is involved in this fivefold setup. When it comes to Leo, Polaris, and the lesser pointer, Leo relates to the personality and soul. The little bear relates to the sun aspect, the soul aspect, and the Leo pointer at first to the personality, which must be infused by the higher type of Leonian energies. There is a Polaris is a major star of direction. We might ask, to what is Polaris particularly directing? Is it directing towards a secondary source because it's a member of a triangle, of a constellation which has more of the second ray in it? That is the little bear. There's also an Ajna center function for the little bear, let's just say the Polaris can have a directing Ajna center function. Polaris can have a directing Ajna center function. Oftentimes the Ajna center takes up a second ray function in connection with the greater function of the crown center, or in this case the seven head centers which the great bear represents. But Polaris, this is the directing center, and the cosmically, and the one about whom not may be said, we have assigned the little bear possibly to the Ajna center, and the fact that it has this star Polaris in it, which is a directing center, may be confirmation of that assignment. Okay, so we are reading here, you have therefore through these related triangles the appearance of Shambhala and humanity. Two poles of divine expression, will, and activity. Interesting about humanity, and I think we have to bring, we remember when looking at the centers which the various kingdoms represented, we had humanity as the Ajna center of the planetary logos. Well, this is interesting because Leo, the most human of the signs, little bear, the Ajna center, with Polaris having a directing Ajna center function, and then the pointer two, which has the meaning of Leo personality. So thinking of humanity as the Ajna center and thinking of the second pointer, number two, which is really in a way number one, it's closest, but it's the second one mentioned, and it is in a way inferior in meaning to pointer number one, the Merak pointer. We have here a means of describing humanity in terms of the Ajna center and in terms of the personality. So here we are describing humanity in terms of the Ajna center and the personality. So we have founding, so we are dealing with triangles related to the founding of Shambhala and humanity. And this is the five other, well, let's see, two energies, those of Vulcan and Pluto, assist the first triangle because it's such a very first-rate triangle. But the connotations of the second triangle do not have such a strong first ray. In one way, Polaris represents the first ray because it is a directing center, and Leo has first ray coming through it. And of course, with Dubé being primarily a fifth ray star, we're calling that pointer number two right now, even though it's closest, because it was mentioned second. Dubé will have a close relation to Leo, and hence also not only to the fifth ray, which defines the distinctness of personality, but also to the first ray. So there are some first ray components there, but we remember that the fifth ray and the second ray are closely related, that the directing power of Polaris is in a constellation which represents the sun aspect, the lesser bear, and that Leo is the constellation of the fire sign constellations, which has most to do with consciousness and the second aspect. So this is the setting up of humanity. We now come to another triangle, the activity which produces the manifestation of hierarchy. All right, this is interesting because behind these three great planetary centers are found the triangles which are responsible for the establishment of these centers, the intermediary between Shambhala and humanity, and this is Scorpio, Sirius, and Mars. There's definitely a connection between Sirius and Scorpio. This has been emphasized before. These, in relation to our Earth, produce the four streams of energy, initiating and transmitting, which lead discipleship, which lead toward humanity towards discipleship. So we can put it like this. Scorpio is in a superior position here. It's mentioned first. Does being mentioned first tell us about a superior position? Well, if you really study the stars in the constellation Scorpio, you will see some of them are immensely powerful, including the great Antares, which is a huge supergiant. Maybe I've shown you some of the pictures of the giant stars, with Antares having an orbit that seems to simply, I mean, a circumference and diameter which just embraces all the others, much, much larger. So let's look at this. We have Scorpio, Scorpio, Sirius, Mars, and remember Mars' relationship to the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. Remember, Mars is the conduit for the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. It is also the conduit for Scorpio, Sirius. And Scorpio was found as a zodiacal conduit for the seven solar systems. So some of the factors are the same. Mars and Scorpio were only missing Taurus. This suggests, to me anyway, that Sirius may play some function in the seven solar systems, even though it has its own its own independent focus as a source. I should probably capitalize that as a source. So anyway, Scorpio, Sirius, Mars, and isn't it interesting that Sirius is the scorcher? This is the, looks like the harsher part of Scorpio and of Sirius, Earth. That Saturn and Mars Capricorn and Scorpio are constellations which help the individual become a part of the hierarchy. And this particular triangle looks closely related because the hierarchy is Sirian. Let's look at it this way. Hierarchy is Sirian and Sirian, and Scorpio is one of those constellations with Mars, which gives entree into the spiritual hierarchy. Taurus is also, Taurus is related through the seven solar systems. Capricorn is the other sign. Capricorn and Scorpio are two hierarchically related constellations. Okay, remember. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Now, so let's look at what we have listed so far. I don't think there are other diagrams here, so we have to pretty well imagine this for ourselves. What do we have so far? Let's list this. The triangle of Shambhala, aided by two first ray planets. So we have pointer 1, Aries, Earth, Shambhala on Earth, plus Vulcan and Pluto. Both of them in various ways related to Shambhala. Then we have a subsidiary, which is part of the five-fold system immediately above. And this is Vulcan, Pluto, and the Earth. And this involves the head center Vulcan and Pluto, the base of the spine center, and establishing that relation, which is important at the fifth initiation. Establishing a relation between the head center and the base of spine center, which is vitally important at the fifth initiation. Now, the next triangle, well, it will be Scorpio. First, we have the sign of the zodiac. Scorpio Sirius, apparently a lesser source. And let's see, going right back here, Mars, a non-sacred planet. The scorching aspect of Sirius, we are reminded, Sirius is not an easy star. It's so uncompromising, demanding the burning away of all impurities. And we have to remember as well that Leo has to do with burning grounds and the final burning ground, especially that gives liberation. There's much to correlate here. And this is what is called the triangle of hierarchy. And then finally, we have, all we have to do is remember it. Okay. Oh, I guess this is not going to work like that. Okay. Finally, we have the triangle of humanity, which must have been instrumental in establishing humanity. This is Leo, Polaris, Little Bear, I have to include that because we want to remember that. And pointer. And pointer number two, even though it's closest. Pointer two. So now we have the energies which are, in a way, behind the establishment of Shambhala, of hierarchy, and of humanity. Sirius does have a connection with Leo, most definitely, and Sirius has a strong connection with elevating humanity. So, it is then at least related to that triangle which is establishing humanity or the activity aspect. Scorpio demands a great struggle. This somehow, this middle triangle is a triangle, is a triangle of struggle. We cannot imagine that there will be anything but struggle when Scorpio is present and Mars adds to that. And Sirius has this rather uncompromising aspect to it, burning away all impurities. So if one is to become a member of the spiritual hierarchy, that type of purification is required. This triangle expresses the purification necessary for joining the hierarchy. Okay, and the next one, the triangle of humanity, etc. I'm going to put these in slightly different colors so they are a little easier to see. And at least we know now, or have been given to consider, the subjective triangles in most cases. The first case, we have two additional planets, which produce the founding of the three planetary centers. And we can say, because the three planetary centers are founded by these triangles, then the integration of these three centers is probably promoted through the agency of these triangles. Well, just stop to think of it for a moment. Let your mind go out into space and out into our solar system. Find the constellation, find the pointer of the Great Bear, which is farthest from Polaris. And it's a northern star, quite near the North Star, as a matter of fact. Find that little constellation, Aries. Find the Earth and imagine the triangle there. Now let your mind consider the lesser evoked triangle. Go close to the Sun and imagine you can establish Vulcan, and go to the far extremes of our solar system, and there is Pluto and here is the Earth. So imagine that, which is instrumental in reinforcing the relationship of will and purpose. And then we go to that distinctive and powerful constellation in the sky, Scorpio, with the central red star Antares. And we think then on the opposite side, pretty much, of the zodiac, because Sirius is in the Gemini area, or rather Sirius. We think of the star Sirius. And let's see. And then come back into the solar system for Mars. So Mars is visible. It's the red planet. It's traveling around the Sun every 2 years or so. It takes a two-year period. So here's the red planet, Mars. Here is the constellation Scorpio, to which Mars is so related. And here is the brilliant star Sirius. There'll be kind of an opposition between the constellation Scorpio and the Sirian area of the sky, and Mars will be movable. And then when it comes to the triangle of humanity, think of the Dubay star closest to Polaris, and in the upper far, the far corner of the cup of the Dipper. So first there is Leo, and then there is Pointer 2. Now, the Great Bear will always be close to Leo, so there won't be any difficulty visualizing. If you can see the Great Bear, you can probably pretty well see Leo as well, depending on the place and what time it may be rising. But usually you follow the lower part of the cup of Leo down to the lower part of the cup of the Great Bear down to Leo. So you can imagine the connection between those constellations. But first, interestingly, Leo first, then Polaris, then Pointer 2, which is close to Polaris. I think we can, those are all seeming to be pretty much in the same part of the sky. And these are behind the three planetary centers, and we might then say, as a result, that these relationships assist our planetary logos to become a sacred planetary logos. I think I put it that way. Well, let's see where we are here. It has been interesting. We're pretty much near the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 124B. DK seems to look at all the many possibilities and find the triangles which for us are really meaningful. They have to do with our consciousness, individual, Christ consciousness, group consciousness. They have to do with the crises that we pass through. Some of the elemental triangles have been mentioned in passing, but he's not so concerned with those. Those are more familiar. He's giving us certain triangles which rule important cycles in man's evolutionary history, and now he's giving us the triangles that are behind the three planetary centers, which have to be united in order to make our Earth a sacred planet. So there is there are some very significant triangles of force mentioned. And he's also, you know, given us that 18-fold chart, starting with the three great constellations and the various triangles which are horizontal in that chart, and also those which can be achieved by taking three contiguous members of the vertical descent. Pretty soon our mind can be most filled with triangles, just as long as we remember their significance. When the work of all these triangles has been concluded, humanity, and in a mysterious sense our Earth, will be functioning in perfect rhythm. It is the fourth planet, as we presently count, from the Sun. It has much to do with the number four, as the symbol represents. Humanity is the fourth kingdom, and will respond to energies pouring in from Alcyone. I believe there was a special relationship that we looked at, Alcyone and Aquarius. So that is, and of course, the Earth, and the, or humanity, and or the Earth. So the harmonization will have occurred. When the work of all these triangles has been concluded, a fully developed humanity, fully developed hierarchy, and Shambhala now more exoteric and manifesting through both of them. It's a bit like the planetary logos for Sanat Kumara, as it were, symbolically walking the earth. There will be a great harmonization under the number four. We will have taken our fourth initiation, and there will be a soul expression of our planet, and humanity will be found on the second and fourth ray. And then from the center of the Pleiades, or the major Pleiades with which we are concerned, Alcyone will link the major center, sometimes called the star of the individual, but Re-Alcyone, if we see here, here it is. If the Pleiades also transmit cosmic buddhi, then Alcyone is part of this transmission. At first, simply looked at as a third aspect focus, with Alcyone the star of the individual, so relating more to the personality. But later, if we look at beyond the third aspect function of the Pleiades, we will find the second aspect, the buddhi, there, connecting to the dragon. I mean, all of these are beings, just the way we know people in our vicinity and now through the internet increasingly across the globe and find commonalities with them. So these great stellar beings and constellational lords, they have their relationships. And what we are doing here is studying the kinds of relationships that they have and how these relationships affect the whole human and planetary process. Okay, friends, we will go on to Esoteric Astrology 124C before too long. We'll see you shortly.